Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
It's time for the Dr. Lee Vinoker Show. Here's Dr. Lee.
Hi, and welcome to the show. It's Health from the Outside In on Radio MD. My first topic, a little serious, postpartum depression. My guest is a national expert on postpartum depression, Dr. Shoshana Bennett, and she's recently updated her book, Beyond the Blues, A Guide to Understanding and Treating Prenatal and Postpartum Depression. So welcome, Dr. Bennett. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Now, I am the mother of one, and so everything's kind of new, and I can say, you know, I still have anxiety. He's 18 and now going off to college, but, you know, when I was a new mom, you know, anxiety, being overtired, your hormones. I mean, doesn't every mother experience that, especially first-time moms?
New mothers, most new mothers go through the baby blues. Baby blues are mild, should be gone by about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks at the outset. And certainly there are normal stressors, absolutely. But what sets the baby blues, the normal stuff, apart from a disorder are two factors. One, the duration of the symptoms. If they keep going week after week after week, we now call it postpartum depression. Also, if the severity of the symptoms get in the way of her daily functioning, if the anxiety is over the top, you know, and doesn't subside, if she has difficulty sleeping at night when her baby is sleeping, if her self-esteem plummets, if she's putting herself down all the time, saying anybody can do this better than I can, or my baby's rejecting me, those kinds of things. If she's angry and short-tempered a lot, if she's snapping at her toddler or yelling at her husband when he walks in the door, even though she knows he doesn't deserve it, you know, those kinds of things. If she's lost her perspective, you know, if she's thinking, I've lost myself, I'm never going to get myself back, what did I do to my life? I mean, that can lead to real hopelessness. So it's really those two factors that set aside a disorder from the normal baby blues.
Now, is there some women that are more at risk? I mean, you know, something just came out recently that use of certain antidepressants were not harmful, which I thought was, you know, a good thing, because there are women that have depression ahead of time,
yes,
prenatal, and, you know, in the past, sometimes they were taken off their antidepressants, and didn't that just intensify everything?
And you know, actually, that's why I wrote Pregnant on Prozac. It's so one of the reasons is because so women won't just drop off their antidepressant because that can be the worst thing you can possibly do. So, yes, if there's a family history and certainly a personal history of depression or another mental health issue prior to childbearing, yes, it makes her higher risk. And certainly if she's had a previous postpartum episode, either postpartum depression or another one of the six perinatal mood and anxiety disorders, it makes her, gosh, about 50 to 80% at risk. However, no one is immune. This can hit first-time mothers. It can hit, you know, women who have had babies before and had no postpartum difficulty. So we never know. You know, just like every pregnancy is different, every postpartum can be different as well. And it's important to set yourself up in as healthy a way and with the greatest plan possible.
Mm-hmm. So what are these six anxiety stressors that you just alluded to that women should watch out for?
The perinatal mood and anxiety disorders, that's the umbrella term. Postpartum depression is one of them, but we talk about that one the most because it's the most common. That's the most common complication of childbearing, as a matter of fact. About one in seven women will be hit with a postpartum depression. The others are postpartum panic disorder, postpartum bipolar disorder, postpartum obsessive-compulsive disorder. By the way, I was a smorgasbord of most of these. And the postpartum OCD can be absolutely terrifying unless you know what it is and what it isn't. There's postpartum post-traumatic stress disorder, which can come directly from the birth experience itself sometimes. And then last is postpartum psychosis. And when we see the really scary news stories of mom hurting baby,
right,
mom killing baby, it's usually in a situation where the mom has really left our reality. She's hallucinating. She's psychotic.
Mm-hmm. And it's a spectrum at some point, but just because you have postpartum depression doesn't mean that you're going to have a psychosis per se.
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, they are very, very different disorders. So a postpartum depression doesn't work its way into a psychotic episode. If psychosis is going to happen, typically it happens immediately. It happens, you know, the first few days following delivery. It actually overlaps the baby blues period. So postpartum psychosis is not like a terrible postpartum depression. It's a different animal entirely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are the cases you heard the woman in Texas, Yates, many years ago.
Andrea Yates.
Yeah, who had drowned all
psychotic.
Her children.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And are those people tend to have issues with psychosis before they get depressed, or this can totally and completely develop out of the blue? I mean, we like to think that, you know, maybe she had some psychoses before she had a kid, but this is something that can just totally develop out of the blue right at the
time?
In
Andrea's case, she did have a previous diagnosis of schizophrenia, so she was extremely high risk, and we could do a whole show on that, but she was pulled off her medication a couple of days before she did what she did, yes, and that was just awful. But yes, to the other part of your question, this can happen with women with totally clean histories as well. I don't want to scare anybody here, because even if there's 1 to 2 per 1,000, I mean, it's very rare to get a postpartum psychotic episode, but even so, every single one of these disorders is very treatable, 100% treatable. These are considered to be acute disorders, not chronic, so you reach out. The answer is you reach out as fast as you possibly can to a psychotherapist who specializes in this particular area. So it's not just good enough to settle for a good therapist in your insurance. You really need a specialist, and you will be off and running after some good treatment.
So, and what are the treatments? Is it always medication or?
Well, if you're talking psychosis, then absolutely. I mean, that's always considered, again, an emergency, and we don't fool around with alternatives. I mean, we go right to the antipsychotic medications. But usually, with a postpartum depression, a woman may or may not need medication. I mean, you know, there are all kinds of alternatives as well. Whatever works for her is good. I mean, omega-3 fish oil. Women are very rarely told about how omega-3 fish oil, you want to use something that's contaminant-free. I know pregnant women and lactating women are often very worried about that. I use Nordic Naturals. It's totally pure. But, you know, things like this, nutrition is extremely important. Emotional support, physical support. Who is giving her breaks throughout the week so she can nurture herself? Who is taking over for a few hours at nighttime so she can restore her brain chemistry? Who is, you know, these kinds of things are so basic, a certain amount of exercise. And there's also brain stimulation. There are a couple of types of phototherapy, you know, light therapy. There's acupuncture, acupressure. There are, you know, for each woman who contacts me, there is an individual plan of action set up, because there's no cookie-cutter approach to treatment.
Hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, I recall I had a colicky baby, and my husband at the time went on a golf trip, and I was like, are you kidding me? You're leaving. Actually, I hired a nurse to come to the house. It was one of the best weekends I had when he was little.
Very smart. Very, very smart of you, yes. Yeah, because when you feel like it's all on your shoulders, especially with a little one, that can be absolutely overwhelming for anyone.
Yeah, so the key is you need to talk to somebody. And if you don't have a health professional, at least reach out to your OB doctor to start with, right? I'm assuming that
out to a healthcare practitioner you trust. Hopefully that person will have a great resource. I mean, I work virtually, as do a number of my colleagues.
That's
at this
great.
Point. So with women all over the world, because sometimes you can't find a specialist, right?
Thank you so much. This is the Dr. Lee Vanocur Show, Health from the Outside In on Radio MD.